If you don't have one on your phone or don't have these ancient printed Bibles, then raise your hand. They're going to get one to you, and it will help you follow along. Find the book of Ephesians when you get your Bible, and we'll just jump right into it. It will be really a useful way. We're gonna find a way that you can look through Scripture today, sort of to pull out some things that God says about who we are. So ushers are finding those. If you can distribute them, that'd be really awesome. Anybody else need one? Turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would. And let's start at the very beginning. All the way near the back of the Bible, you'll find it. Let's begin today by reading in the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Powerful passage of Scripture. I am drawn in particular to verse 13 and 14, picking it up halfway through verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, look what it says next, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Guaranteeing our inheritance. Do you know that you have an inheritance from God? You possess an inheritance, and it's already yours for the taking, that God has in store for you. Well, I could run a long list today of all the different inheritances we have from God. We would be here for days uncovering and discovering all the inheritance God has for us. God has great things in store for you, and he wants you to have them. Tell you a story. When I was a teenage boy, I was sitting at the table in our kitchen eating breakfast on a summer morning, and I was there just minding my own business when I heard coming into our driveway a clunkety old car that was not familiar sounding. It was making all kinds of noises as it was coming down our blacktop driveway, and then went beyond our driveway into the gravel drive that went behind the house to the building that was there, another garage where my dad worked on cars. I thought right away, my dad's bought a junk car so he can fix it up because that's what he likes to do. I stood up, and as I was doing that, I looked out the window more, and yet a minute behind it was another car, this one smoking, blowing stuff out the exhaust, another piece of junk. A few seconds behind that came a tow truck pulling in another car. In all, this is my memory of the day my dad purchased something like 13 cars in one morning. He had gone to the junkyard. He bought all of these cars, and they were all pieces of junk. They were beat up. They were crashed. They were dented. They were not used by anybody more. They were totaled by insurance companies, and that's why they were at the junkyard. Here's the deal. When everybody else saw junk, my dad saw potential. My dad looked at one car and he said, you know what, I can get a fender off of that car. He looked at another one and said, I think I can get the driver's door off of that car. He saw a bumper on another car, doghouse on another car, the rear end off another car, the deck lid, which is the part that goes over your trunk, over another car. He saw all these parts on these cars. He thought, if I buy all of these, I might be able to make myself a couple really good cars out of it. So that morning, I got on my shoes because I knew what was in store. It was head to the back garage to start working on all these cars. And we did. We went to that back. We went to that back garage, and we started yanking fenders off one and putting them on another, and he found the one that had the best frame and the best interior, and we started putting parts on that. It's like Duplos, you know, you stick them together, and they all kind of make a car. They kind of come out of that, and we would be up there, and we would grind and sand. Have you ever taken sandpaper and sanded so long that your fingers bleed? That was what my day, that's what my summer was like that summer. We were sanding and putting putty on and sanding some more. And my dad would put primer on, and he'd got his spray gun. And then he'd take a paint, and he would just turn up the heat in the garage until it was about 700 degrees. I mean, it had to be that hot. And he'd turn up this heat. He had this fuel oil type of thing, and it was burning up in there. It's so hot. And he would lay the paint on there, another coat, and another coat. And he'd finally take all this thinner and put it in the final coat, a gloss to put on top of it. And I mean, what came out, you would not believe from the junk that he brought home. It was incredible. I remember sitting there that day, and I remember as all these cars were coming in, and I thought, here comes my inheritance, a bunch of junk. That's my dad. That's going to be what I get. And I was right. What I got from my dad, my inheritance, I've already received. I've already received it. I got this ability to look at things that everybody else says belongs in a junkyard and to say, I see potential in that. I have this, I guess it's from him, this innate ability to look at someone's life and say, I don't see the brokenness, I don't see the junk, I don't see the garbage, I see the potential in that person. People say, is the glass half full or the half empty? I say it's always three quarters full, and it's probably going to rain. That's always my outlook in life. I got that from my dad. I see this potential. I see this hope. I see this possibility in life. And if you say, well, you seem to be a person who's never quite content with where we are. I mean, we have four worship services and two campuses. And is that enough? And I say, of course not. It's not enough. Because like my dad, it's never enough just to buy one car or a couple cars. You got to buy a whole pile of them and fix them up. And that's I got that from him. My dad, for crying out loud, he's 87 years old, and he still works 30 hours a week at a car dealership, no less. He still loves cars. I didn't get my love for cars from my dad, but I got this work ethic, and I got this desire to see more and desire to see better and to see potential in people and other projects. I've already received my inheritance from my dad. Wouldn't it be awesome if you and I could say that we've already received our inheritance from our Heavenly Father? You know, a lot of times we think, when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to receive an inheritance. And you're right. We will receive a beautiful, eternal inheritance from God in heaven. But you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you die. You don't have to wait until you go to heaven. If you choose right now in your life, you can dig deep and you can find the inheritance that God has for you, if you're willing to dig and go at it and get dirty and find what God has to give for you. Thursday night, I was with Todd Austin in our SALT leadership training class, and he made an amazing statement, and it was about people who are prospectors for gold. And he said, prospectors for gold never say, oh, bummer, look at all the dirt I found. They always say, look at the nugget of gold that I found. See, you can choose to look at life like you're a bunch of junk, that you're broken, that there's a bunch of dirt in your life, that there's no potential in your life. You can choose to look inside of yourself and see what is no good. But I promise you that your Heavenly Father, when He looks at you, He says, I see the potential. I see the nuggets of gold. I see beautiful things. In Australia, there was a prospector for gold who went into a field where dozens of prospectors had already been. Dozens of prospectors had worked this field over. They had looked at it. They had gone to every place they thought was potential for gold to be in this field. They had looked and dug, and they finally had said, there's no gold in this field. We leave it behind, and we abandon it. And the man from Australia went into that exact same field. He said, I still believe there is potential here. And he dug down just 23 inches below the surface of the earth. And he found a 12-pound nugget of gold worth $300,000. Pretty good day's work, would you say? See, I've found this out when I've just talked around, looked at this kind of stuff, that there are three kinds of prospectors. There are prospectors who go and find gold right away, and they say, I'm good, I quit. I've got everything I need. I can live off of this. There are prospectors who go look for gold and don't find any within the first week or so, and they get discouraged, and just like the others, they say, I quit, I'm done. But there's a third kind that goes, and whether they find gold immediately or not, they keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. And I believe that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. To mine for gold, to dig for it, to find out what he has. What is my inheritance? Now, wouldn't it be great if you could right now read your parents' will and find out what you're going to get when they pass on to a better place? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if they said, here's the will, son, here's the will, daughter, take a look at it and inspect it and see if there's anything in here that you really are looking forward to having. Well, I have news for you. You can do that. It's not through some magical place on the internet where you can look at your parents' will. It's through the Word of God right here. God has already given us His last will and testament, so to speak. And He has written it down for you and for me so that we can find these nuggets of truth, these inheritance statements for us. I tried it this week. I went through the book of Ephesians. By the way, the book of Ephesians is the backdrop of this entire series that we are now in. So I got my journal out, and all of you should have a journal where you're writing down, recording your thoughts and what God's doing in your life and things God is saying to you and scriptures that you're studying and just things of life that are happening in your life. So I got my journal out, and I just said, I'm going to go through the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to find some stuff in here, some truth statements, some inheritance statements for my life. And here's Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what I wrote down. I didn't write the whole thing down. I just wrote down these statements, 33 statements, inheritance statements that I found. In Ephesians chapter 2, I found another 35 statements. I mean, it might be different for you, a different number for you, because you read them and God's speaking to you and you're finding them. I just kept going through 3, 4, 5, 6. I found all these things that God is showing us and teaching us and what He has for me in my life and how I can grow in that and how God is helping shape me and change me in my life. And here's the beautiful thing of that is that we can do it ourselves. We're going to try it right now. Okay, open your Bible up to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at a few of these ourselves. We're going to see happens when we mine and dig for gold. We're going to see what inheritance God has already promised us as followers of Christ, what we have if we remain faithful to Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just pick up verse 7 for an example. It says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us." Okay, that's just a normal sentence that's in Scripture. And we can often read through it and go through it very rapidly and just kind of move through it. But if we stop there for a moment and say, what is the promise God has in there for me? What is the inheritance that I can claim out of this right now? Well, look what it says. You could see, and what I often do is I'll start these with an I statement about myself, sometimes with a God statement about me, and make them a straightforward, simple sentence. Don't write a whole novel. Don't write a paragraph. Just like, what are these statements that would say, this is my inheritance? So out of this, I found several. I says, I have redemption through the blood of Christ. I have that. God's paid a price for me. Another one, I have the forgiveness of my sins. I already possess that. That's my inheritance from Christ. Another one, I have the riches of God's grace. Not the leftovers of God's grace. God didn't sit up in heaven and say, oh man, these people are all messed up. I guess I got to do a little bit of something to help them. God gave me His riches. Look at the next statement that He lavished on us. I have God's lavishing grace in my life. To be lavished with something. Go overboard. I'm spoiled by God. Aren't those great statements of my inheritance what I already have? Look at chapter 2. Let's go to verse 12. Here's another just verse of Scripture, and we can begin to see these statements of inheritance that we have, God has already given to us. Chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Paul is writing this speaking of our life before we became Christians, when we were not following Him, when we were not living our faith out on a regular basis. So now that I am doing that, this is a statement of inheritance for my life. I can say, I am no longer separate from Christ. I am no longer, another statement, excluded from citizenship in Israel. Israel's God's chosen people. I'm part of God's chosen people. Here's another one in here. I am no longer a foreigner to the covenants of God's promise. What are the covenants? The covenant with Noah, the covenant with Abraham, the covenant with David. They go on throughout Scripture. I'm not a foreigner to them. It's like I'm his grandson. I receive those covenants. Oh, look at the end of it. I am no longer without hope. Another one, I am no longer without God in the world. How is this useful to me? Well, if I'm having a down day, if someone's been rough on me, if things haven't gone well, if I'm a bit sad about life in a particular day, and I don't feel very hopeful, I feel actually a little bit hopeless, I can go to this inheritance statement and say, I am no longer without hope in the world. That is my inheritance. I will not be without hope because I am not without God, and so I will be hope-filled in my life. And so it becomes an application for your life when you say you have this hope that God has given to you. Look at chapter 3. We'll pick up another one. Chapter 3, let's go to verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. In Him, it says, and through Him. I'm sorry, in Him and through faith in Him. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. There's some great statements in there. I can write this down. I can approach God in Christ. That first phrase, in Him. Because of Christ in my life, I can now approach God. I can write this down. I can approach God with faith. I can approach God with freedom. I can approach God with confidence. You see all that's in there? If you go mining, go digging, and you find the nuggets of what God has given to you, your inheritance, what does this mean? This means that if I ever feel abandoned and alone, sometimes people have said this, I feel like God has left me. God has sort of abandoned me. I can go back to this inheritance statement, and I can always say, that'll never be true. Because Scripture has promised me, though I read the will, and it says that I can approach God with freedom. I can approach God with confidence. I can approach God in Christ. I can approach God any time I want. I can come to Him. It's my inheritance, and it belongs to me. All right, here's what we're going to do. For the next few minutes, I would like for you to pick any chapter, any verse out of the book of Ephesians. You have Bibles with you now. Pick any verse you want and formulate your own inheritance statements. One sentence, not a long paragraph, one sentence, your own statements, and just start writing some of them down. Truths that God has given to you, nuggets of gold God has given to you, 12-pound, $300,000 chunks of gold. God says, it's right there for you. Take a few moments and do this. All right, here's how this is going to work. This week, go digging for gold. Go digging. Don't pass over the field and say, well, somebody's already been there, or I've already looked and haven't found anything. Simple way to do that is today, just go home and read Ephesians chapter 1 and begin to write down the statements that you see. And all through Ephesians 1. Tomorrow, Ephesians chapter 2. Go through it verse by verse and phrase by phrase and say, these are statements of inheritance God has for me. On Tuesday, go to Ephesians chapter 3. On Wednesday, when we have 14 feet of snow, do the whole Bible. Just come back by next week and you've done all six chapters of Ephesians. Next week, when I preach out of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to just pick one little bit of that passage to preach on, but you're going to have studied all of it and have all these truth statements. And then next week, you'll start over again. And on Sunday, you'll read Ephesians chapter 1 and Monday chapter 2. And God will show you more and more and more about Himself. And these will be statements of fact and faith for you to live your life by.